And welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. With me today, Donato Cabrera, who's the music director of the Green Bay Symphony Orchestra. Welcome.
Thank you, Norman. It's a pleasure to be here.
98 years
the
symphony's been around.
We were just talking off air about how extraordinary it is to have an orchestra the size of the Green Bay Symphony and to have such a rich history there that can often go unnoticed, but you know, we're really already beginning to celebrate this great achievement of 100 years of exemplary music making in the Green Bay Symphony.
And you're obviously the latest, I think the last of 10?
Yes, I'm the youngest member of the music directors, and proud to be so.
And you have a concert coming up on February 11th, which would be a week from Saturday.
That's right, February 11th, 7:30 at the Widener Auditorium. We have a wonderful program. It's it begins with a Strauss waltz, Voices of Spring, perhaps a plea for the weather, for the flowers to start to bloom. And then we have Wagner's wonderful piece that he wrote for his wife, Siegfried Idyll. And then one of the great, great symphonies of the romantic repertoire, Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4.
And we'll do a little sampling a little later. You come originally from Reno, Nevada, though.
That's right. The classical music haven of Reno, Nevada. No, it's actually...
But there is, if you read a little bit of music history and about American music history in particular, there was really, even in the 19th century, there was quite a lively musical life in those communities out in the West.
Those boom towns really wanted to have a little bit of everything, and they had the money to bring it in. And Reno was no exception. Virginia City, which was where the Comstock Lode was discovered. Mark Twain even lived in Virginia
Absolutely.
City for a while.
Wrote some of his best stuff there.
That's exactly right. And so because of that need to have the world's best, Reno really benefited from that. And while I was growing up there, we had a Philharmonic Orchestra, we had the Reno Chamber Orchestra, we had Nevada Opera, and we had the Nevada Ballet. And they all had fairly substantial seasons. And I was I'm a French horn player, and I remember the music director when I was growing up. We did Mahler's Second Symphony, Mahler's Third Symphony. I mean, it was major repertoire. And to this day, there are some fantastic musicians that live in Reno.
Even though the silver has played out by now?
That's right. It's long gone. But no, it was a great experience, exposure for me growing up in Reno, Nevada, of all places.
Somewhere along the line, you wound up in an even bigger boom town called San Francisco.
That's right, via New York City. For the last 6 years now, I've been in San Francisco, first as the associate conductor of the San Francisco Opera, and for now, this is my third season as a resident conductor of the San Francisco Symphony.
And I gather from something you said earlier that San Francisco does a fair amount with youth music.
That's right. One of my roles with the San Francisco Symphony is also as music director of the San Francisco Symphony Youth Orchestra, which is celebrating its 31st year. It's one of the world's great youth orchestras, and in fact, I will be taking them on a European tour this coming summer, where we will return to the Philharmonie in Berlin and the Gasteig in Munich to perform in the world's great halls. And we don't do, we're doing real repertoire too. Yeah. Mahler's Symphony No. 1, Prokofiev's Symphony No. 5, and it will sound like one of the great orchestras. So we're very lucky to do that. And the educational programs that I also conduct with the San Francisco Symphony are some of the biggest in the country. In fact, I just finished conducting, it was for 2 weeks, and I conducted over, there were 30,000 students that came to Davie Symphony Hall in the course of those 2 weeks to hear my concerts.
30,000 students.
Yes.
And you do that kind of thing in Green Bay now?
We are well on our way of establishing a really wonderful educational program, Music for a Great City, where we will we are going into the schools and sharing with them wonderful information about music, and then inviting them to our concerts as well as their parents, and providing a way for them to get there. And so this is something I'm very, very adamant and excited about doing in Green Bay, as well as in the future providing even more concerts for families and for kids.
You brought some Berlioz.
I did indeed. It was actually my concert that from my audition concert, as it were. I was one of the four finalists for the music director position, and this was from that concert last April, and it was the opening overture. It was the Berlioz Beatrice and Benedict overture.
Audition, you tell me.
As auditions go, it's trial by fire.
Yeah, conducting Berlioz, no less. Is that your choice to pick something from a composer who wrote for the largest orchestras known to man?
It was a joint venture. You know, these auditions are often. The repertoire can be given to you, and then you can have a little bit say as to what will be done. But. I'm really glad I was able to do this overture because I had never conducted it before. So it was a great opportunity to find a piece other than the Roman Carnival overture by Berlioz. I can't wait to do it again.
You're hearing Donato Cabrera, who is the music director of the Green Bay Symphony fairly recently, as of last year.
That's right. This is my first season.
About the time this recording we just heard was made. And they have a concert on February 11th that will feature Strauss's Voices of Spring, Wagner's Siegfried Idyll, and Tchaikovsky's Fourth, a full program of what I do not hesitate to call crowd pleasers. And that'll be at the Widener Center. Is that 8 o'clock, by the way?
7:30.
Make note, because that is something you'll want to know. 7:30. We're about 9 minutes away from the 12:30 quiz question, and Donato Cabrera is here on his way back to Green Bay to prepare for this concert upcoming. He's also on the conducting staff of the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. And what's a piece that you'd really itch to get your hands on as a conductor?
Well, you know, one of those pieces for many years, and I think almost every young conductor would agree with me, was Mahler's Symphony No. 2.
The second.
Okay. The second symphony. And as luck would have it, just in November, I was asked to conduct this for the first time in Madrid, in Spain, and that's a major piece that I can finally check off of that list. But I have the bug, and I can't wait to find another chance to do that again. But for me, that was by far the number one piece on my list to do. Another, of course, are many of the other Mahler symphonies I'm itching to get my hands on.
Why do conductors love those so much?
Well, I think it's because it's such a personal journey that Mahler has in his music, and for a conductor, you know, to study a piece like that, it's sort of like reading the greatest novels.
Pretty thick novel, too.
A pretty thick novel, and I think that's very appealing for many, many conductors because, you know, the further you go back in history, the harder it is to find out the reasons behind. And there may not even be real reasons other than monetary that some of those pieces
are
written.
Mm-hmm.
That's a job. So that to me, I think that's the main appeal for many young conductors, and certainly was for me. I can't wait to do some of the Strauss tone poems. Also, Sprach Zarathustra is up there.
You mentioned Mahler. I was thinking, well, so why not Strauss? Talk about personal journeys, you know, Ein Heldenleben or something.
Right.
Like that.
And, you know, I have a lot of operas that I'm dying to do for the first time. Falstaff, I've always been a huge
fan.
That's
a lovely one, isn't it?
It's so lyrical and light and full of just insight into the human psyche that only a master at Verdi in his last stages of his career can reveal. So that's many. You could ask me tomorrow, and I'll probably have another list of pieces that I'd love to do.
Now, what is it about the Tchaikovsky Fourth? We're going to be hearing one of your perhaps your favorite version of the third movement from Tchaikovsky's Fourth.
Well, again, this is I think it has a lot to do with just the psyche behind the music. Tchaikovsky was such an interesting figure, and he really didn't reveal anything in his life, at least as far as we know, as revealing through his symphonies. You know, we don't have too much written documentation about him in terms of how he really felt about life and what he was going through as a person. But I think it's all there in the music. It's pretty obvious to me. And certainly this symphony is, you know, this is the fourth of six symphonies he wrote, not including the Manfred Symphony. And for me, this is the first of his mature symphonies. And you can really get a sense of the man through this piece. And this recording, as you mentioned, is my favorite recording, without a doubt. It's Evgeny Muravinsky and the Leningrad Philharmonic Orchestra, recorded in London sort of surreptitiously while they were on tour.
Really?
Yes. There was not a original, you know, they were sort of held behind the Iron Curtain and would be paraded out occasionally. Yeah. And this opportunity arose for them to be recorded in London while they were making one of their amazing tours and was receiving rave notices. And they came in and these were done like in one or two takes, just very quickly. And they're just white hot performances, all of them.
1960.
Yes.
This is the Scherzo, which has a nice pizzicato effect to it, from the Symphony No. 4 in F minor by Tchaikovsky, Leningrad Philharmonic, with Evgeny Muravinsky conducting. Evgeny Muravinsky with the Leningrad Philharmonic back there. I won't say a pirate recording, but it was sort of done on the fly. But considering that, worked very, very well. I would say that was the Scherzo from the Symphony No. 4 in F minor of Tchaikovsky, a personal favorite of Donato Cabrera, who's the music director of the Green Bay Symphony Orchestra, and that's one of the pieces that you will be conducting on this concert upcoming February 11th.
That's right.
Center, 7:30.
Don't forget, 7:30. Yes, indeed.
Green Bay Symphony now in its, 99th year?
98th
year, and you are their 10th artistic director over the last 98 years. That's actually shows a pretty good longevity.
I think so. It shows that people are willing to stick around and make a commitment to it, and that's important.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to many more performances from Donato Cabrera as the artistic director of the Green Bay Symphony. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you. My pleasure. It was really fun.